Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Casual Comics Cast. I'm here, your regular Casual Comics host, Joe, and today I've got Mark with me. Hey, Mark.
Greetings. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today, man?
Good. A little overcast today, but it's always sunny in Comic Cast land.
That's true. Although we read a comic this week that was a little dark. Today, we're going to talk some comic news, some recent happenings, but the podcast today, we are going to cover the Marvel event from 2021, Devil's Reign, R-E-I-G-N.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a weather forecast.
It could be, because it was a little dark.
It was.
It was a six-part Marvel event from 2021, written by Chip Zdarsky. And you and I just haven't read, a Marvel event in a long time or covered one since I think last one we covered was Civil War.
I think that was it. And we talked about World War Hulk, but I don't think we covered it yet.
No. But before we dive into that, let's talk a little bit because it's just been a while since we did last talk. Have you been watching She-Hulk?
I have. I've been watching, I know this wasn't on the podcast, but I've been watching The Rings of Power and I thoroughly am enjoying it, by the way, Joe.
Okay.
So I really enjoy it. I think it's gotten some weird negative comments, but I really like it. So just plug there for the Amazon series, Rings of Power.
This is the one that's is it a prequel to Lord of the Rings?
It's set thousands of years before. Yes, prequel, but it's like you gotta go way, way, way back.
But how long do hobbits live? Can't they live to be like 900?
No. I think hobbits are more like 100 is really old.
Elves are thousands of years, right?
Elves are thousands. So Galadriel is in it. Elrond is in it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, as their younger versions of themselves, Isildur is in it. That's how far back. So what is that, like 1500 years ago? I don't remember when that battle happened, but yes. Okay. So it's really neat to see them as young characters. The Mines of Moria make an appearance like in their heyday. So it's pretty cool. I liked it. If you like the Lord of the Rings, I highly recommend. But She-Hulk, I don't know what to think of it. I want to like it. I just don't think it's for like targeting me, but I don't mind it. What do you think of it?
We're like halfway into it at this point as we're recording this podcast. So we've gotten through a few episodes. It's exactly, I think, what we expected when we recorded our She-Hulk podcast. At least it's what I expected because it's based off that comic run where it's really like a half hour sitcom.
Yeah.
I think. And I got to say, I'm enjoying it. My kids are enjoying watching it just because I think they are a little bit more. It's coming off of Moon Knight, which was super dark and gritty. And it's like, well, now let's explore a completely different genre that Marvel's never done before. And I like it. I think it's goofy. It's jokey in the right way. I love Donnie Blaze.
Yeah.
And the internet's new favorite duo, Madison and Walker.
Madison and Walker. And I think the showrunner said this episode was going to be everybody's favorite. She called it. She said episode 4, everybody's going to love it. And turned out being right. I don't mind. I'm with you. The primer that you gave, that we gave on the podcast was super helpful. I think breaking the fourth wall is a good touch. I do like the humor. They got like the Wrecking Crew kind of cameo there. I love how she talks about Twitter armor and having Wong in it a lot. So yes, it's not, they really go right up to the line of campy without crossing it, I think is how I would say it. So I enjoy it. It's just not my type of show, but I don't mind it.
We'll see what the second half of the series has to deliver, because they've got to be building to something with the Wrecking Crew trying to take her blood, and we'll see what the real true bad guy, if there is a real true bad guy in this one. This morning I just saw online that they announced that there's an as yet untitled Marvel animated series coming, that they announced a director for it and it's untitled, and I think the best comment I saw was Mephisto and Madison are GTFO.
So, that is a good touch. I did like her. I'm glad that she's getting a lot of love on the internet, because it is a great kind of comic relief portion.
Then the D23 happened, and a couple Marvel trailers came out. Werewolf by Night, I thought that was a joke trailer when I first saw it.
So yeah, when you I think you sent it to me or told me to look it up, and same thing. And I just, I really love that Marvel is going in a completely, I mean, they're trying to take chances with all these shows, and you have to applaud that. They're not just trying to repeat everything. They're trying to do different things. But yeah, Joe, this one, I'm not a horror movie person, but I think I'm going to watch it just for the uniqueness of the show.
It looks really weird. And Werewolf by Night, I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, obviously, because they just came off Moon Knight, which Moon Knight's first appearance was in Werewolf by Night. That was his origin. But it's almost like a campy 60s horror, black and white. But then it's got some serious, like, horror elements, like a dismembered arm.
Yeah, dismembered arm. They had a bit of blood, but it's in black and white. So I'm guessing the show is going to be in black and white. Mm-hmm. The whole show, I'm thinking. And at the end, they had like a film burn. So, you know, you see that little touch there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It's like a snuff flick, snuff film, I guess, or whatever you call it.
It's like a very grindhouse. Like when we went and saw that Quentin Tarantino grindhouse double feature.
That was great. Yeah. So I do. I love that they're doing that to keep it fresh. So I actually am going to probably watch that. It's going to come out around October, right? Isn't it next month?
Yeah, October, so, early October. Yeah. It seems like it's a Halloween sort of one shot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm super interested in it.
Yeah, they call it a special presentation. So I do like how they're setting it up.
Yeah, it's weird because that special presentation looks like it's very 70s/80s in the opening. Then it goes way back 60s, black and white. And then I think that's Man-Thing, Marvel's Man-Thing.
Yes. Makes
an appearance in the trailer.
Yeah, Man-Thing, I think, is in there. I don't think this is true, but the other internet rumor I saw was that the TVA was in it.
Okay.
But I don't. It'd be kind of interesting if they tie it in, but definitely I think Man-Thing is the most popular kind of hidden Easter egg in there.
All right. Well, I am eager to see how it ties in. And that would be interesting if the TVA, if this is like some branch,
right?
Like that has to be pruned or has spun off in multiversal fashion.
Yeah. And by the way, sidebar, did you see the internet came out with a powerless Doctor Strange variant in the multiverse of madness? It's like some circus guy, and it's like a P.T. Barnum guy, but it's Doctor Strange.
Okay.
So there's a variant of him in the multiverse where he doesn't have any powers, but he pretends like he's a musician, like Donny Blaze almost.
Donny Blaze.
I'll have to send it to you. It was kind of funny. He's just like sitting there, and he's got like a P.T. Barnum hat, and he's like, I want to have magic powers, but I don't.
Stephen Strange. Well, that'll be cool. And then the other thing that came out of D23 was the trailer for Secret Invasion.
Yes.
You know, we're getting ready to talk about a Marvel crossover event. We'll talk about Secret Invasion as it gets closer to launching, but looks like it's very different than the comics series. It's like a 70s spy thriller again.
Yeah.
More in the vein of like the, what was the second Captain America Winter Soldier feel to it.
Yes. Yeah, I'd agree. I think that's it. If you play any type of cards and you need a straight and you need that middle card, it's bridge card. I think it's a bridge show. I think it's going to bridge to whatever. I think it might help set up whatever event. I could be wrong, like in the bigger film series, but yeah, I liked it. I like the tone of it. Again, I like how they go in these different directions with these shows, and you're right, a very spy kind of tonal thing, clandestine, you know, that whole, all those tones. I think it'd be good.
Seems like it's going to be really Nick Fury centered, which if I'm remembering back to the comic series, may have been S.H.I.E.L.D. may have been a big part of it, because it was all these people that you thought were heroes had been being impersonated by Skrulls for a long time.
So right.
That may be interesting in some of the characters you think have been, I don't know. I would love to see it as like a character that's been in a movie or a TV series for a while. And you're like, that's not really them. It hasn't been them for a while because they were being impersonated by Skrulls.
If they did that, I would really enjoy that. I don't know if people would like it, but I would enjoy it. But you remember that in the MCU, it's flipped. They flipped the script. The Skrulls are the good guys, essentially, and the Kree are not.
They don't appear to be good guys in the series, and maybe it's a rogue faction of the Skrulls.
Right. So I think they're going to have to explain that, because that was a bit confusing the way they were kind of setting up the trailer. I was thinking, wait a minute, I thought the Skrulls were the oppressed people and the Kree were the bad guys, but we'll see. You might be right.
Yeah, we'll find out soon.
Yeah.
So overall, a lot of news coming out, a lot of Marvel stuff to check out in the near future. But let's take a quick break, and then we will come back. And what we're going to talk about today is the limited series event from 2021, Marvel's Devil's Reign.
You're listening to your friendly neighborhood casual comics cast. The story that's been building for years is here. Wilson Fisk went from kingpin to mayor of the biggest city in America and is going to bring his full criminal and political power to bear on the superheroes who call New York City home. The man who once destroyed Daredevil has set his sights on the Fantastic Four, Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and more. But Mayor Fisk isn't the only one with ambitions. And you know what they say about honor among thieves.
Crossbow, Taskmaster, Typhoid Mary, Shocker, Whiplash, Rhino, Kraven.
Fisk has an army of supervillains at his command, and this is just his opening salvo. For years, Fisk has waited for the time to strike, and you won't believe the aces he's got up his sleeves. It's the mega event from the top minds at Marvel.
Devil's Reign.
All right, that is Marvel's Devil's Reign, and that's what we're here to talk about today. With Mark and me, we are going to cover the limited series, which is a very Daredevil-centered series. And at this point, it's Marvel's Devil's Reign. It's a 6-issue limited series that had a ton of side books. I don't know if you read any of the side books at all. I did not,
and we talk about it at the end, but there are a couple I want to go read now because of it.
Okay, very cool. I don't know. I tried to count it up this morning. If you wanted to read the whole series, it's 6 issues in the main series and probably like 25 more if you want to read the side stories as well. But at the beginning of this, it kicks off with, were you familiar with the characters, the Stromwinds?
I was not. No.
So they are behind sort of Wilson Fisk. Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, is in this series. He's mayor, right? He's already mayor.
He already is mayor in this. Yeah, when it kicks off.
And the Stromwinds are a family that's they're like Marvel's equivalent of the Koch brothers, where they have a ton of money and they're secretly using their money to prop up candidates like Wilson Fisk and get them appointed so that they can continue their secret agenda behind the scenes of manipulating things. So Wilson Fisk is mayor of New York City, and he does not remember the secret identity of Daredevil, which he had found out, which was a big way back when. Big deal when Matt Murdock's secret identity was out there, and that helps to know going into it is that at one point everybody knew Matt Murdock was Daredevil,
and they set it up okay. So if you didn't know that, they stitch it together at the very beginning pretty well, because he has files on everybody. Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, and I like how he described it. He's like, the file looks like I should have known who he was, and that's how he is infuriated by something happened, like somebody erased it from his memory. And that's what frustrates him at the very beginning of the Devil's Reign 1.
Right. So in this series, roughly heroes and villains that are the main focus, you start off with Kingpin mad because there's like this nagging thing of him that he should know who Daredevil is, and he doesn't know for some reason. And Daredevil, where does he start the story wise? He's just being Daredevil. Right. And his twin brother, Mike, is for all intents and purposes Matt. Everybody thinks he's Matt so that Matt Murdock Daredevil can operate behind the scenes.
Right. 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 And I think it does just pick up on that. And I think it's important if you are a fan of, you know, the Gang Wars, Hell's Kitchen, Daredevil at all, you'll enjoy this thoroughly, because it really, if you don't, then you won't quite get how obsessed each one of them is with the other one, Kingpin and Daredevil. I mean, that there's a really good long-standing rivalry, weird kinship between those two, and it really, the whole story plays on that, Joe, and I really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, you're right. It's interesting in that it winds up being a big event that is really centered around two characters. So the Devil's Reign is that because Wilson Fisk, mayor of New York, knows that in some way Daredevil has messed with his memory. He's like, somehow he's messed with my brain and this should not be happening. He confronts Daredevil and he's like, I have this file that's labeled Daredevil's identity and the pages inside are missing or they're blank or they're nonsense. And Matt's like, just, you know, Daredevil's like, dude, sorry, it's called a secret identity for a reason. he's just poking the bear.
He taunts him. Yeah, yeah.
And when you poke at Kingpin,
yeah, somebody and like he's that.
Mayor now. It's a very Civil War light plot, mm-hmm. which is in Civil War, which we talked about long ago. There's the Superhero Registration Act. All superheroes have to register, or it's illegal. Well, he's like, okay, well, I'm mayor of New York, and so what I'm saying is superheroes are illegal here. Any vigilante actions or people using their powers, you're going to get arrested. And that's the end. And in this series at this time too, Elektra is with him a lot. And she also is wearing the mantle of Daredevil. That's another, I think, did you get that coming into it, that they had this different where she had been Daredevil for a while? You see, she's wearing the Daredevil costume.
Yeah, no, and you're right. No, I didn't. And that was the thread that I wanted to pull. Was a little bit about that background, but also they mention in the subsequent 6-issue limited event that she goes and does something because there's an interaction between Kingpin and Elektra. Mm-hmm. And I want to go find out what that was, because you missed that whole piece, and I'm sure there's a really good storyline there. So that's the one I was saying I want to catch up on.
I think you'll be excited. We'll talk about that at the end. We'll talk about the ones, because I know what that one's about. So I'll catch up, and then you can see if you really are interested in it.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
With Kingpin, though, he makes the Powers Act. He's like, superheroes are now illegal in New York, and they just start arresting people. right away. No worries.
And they use the Thunderbolts as enforcers, which I think is a great, if you're a fan of the MCU, you kind of hear rumors around Thunderbolts. There's a series, I think, even coming out. Or movie.
They've announced the Thunderbolts movie.
Yeah. So you'll like this because it comprises of a lot of the same characters.
Right.
So yeah, that's good.
But this one centers around a lot of, because it is in New York, it centers around the street level heroes, not necessarily Thor's. No, he's an Asgard.
They mention him. Thor's off world. But what's a hammer going to do against making laws?
Right.
I love some of the lines in there. They're just like, you can't use cosmic powers here. These are state laws. It's mayor race.
It's very She-Hulk. I have diplomatic immunity. You're not in New Asgard.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That was good. Yeah.
And the mutants are just like, we're on Krakoa. Just leave us alone.
Yeah. We don't bow down to human laws, basically. So they address it, because I think I like the event. They address all the kind of cosmic bigger issues of why they don't get involved. They're just like, it's just New York. Like, you guys figure it out.
It's just New York. It's just going to be the street level heroes. And it immediately like kicks in with the Thunderbolts are going to arrest Moon Knight. Miles Morales swings in to save the day in a burning building. And then the Thunderbolts show up to arrest Miles Morales. They're just arresting everybody. Yes. Captain America is really the only person that I almost think is not quote unquote the street level New York hero that shows up. You wind up having Captain America, Miles Morales, you got like three Spider-Mans, which is great.
Yeah.
You got Miles Morales.
You got Ben Reilly. Yeah. Ben Reilly. You got Peter. Yep. Yep.
They show up. And so the team that winds up banded together, and they're hiding out underground at the lair, quote unquote, it was an old, they wind up holing up in an old Avengers mansion, right? The sub basement.
Very nostalgic for me. Cause I there was a run there in the 90s where I read a ton of, well, probably late 80s. I read a ton of Avengers stuff, and the mansion is as big of a character as Jarvis and everybody else. And so when I saw it, I got a little nostalgic. I'm like, that's the old mansion, and it's all, gone. And they're like, there's a secret sub basement where stuff's still going down, but we keep it on the DL.
Don't they mention that it's like, now it's like a tourist place, or
I think it's
a historic landmark building.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt old at that point. I'm like, but I am old. So, right. But yeah, it was a bit of nostalgia there. So yeah, I enjoyed that part where they showed it. And again, the art I thought was well done. In chat about it. The art was really well in this series.
So that's the setup. The setup mm-hmm. is, it's pretty easy. Superheroes.
Yeah, and they're basically like, the setup is, so how are we going to fight him? And it's like, there are two schools of thought. You can fight him by fists, or you can fight him the legal way. And I think most of them take the latter approach.
Right. So there's a couple subplots then that kick in, which is Otto Octavius shows up.
That's right.
they capture Reed and Sue, and they wind up locking up all the superheroes they capture in something like where they were locking them up in Civil War. And what do they call it? The Raft? Or
is it the Myrmidon?
Yeah, the Myrmidon.
Yeah, I think it's Myrmidon is what it is. The underwater version of the Raft. It's not a raft. It's underwater. It's like the raft, but it's underwater.
Which I think is how they presented it in Captain America: Civil War, was that it was underwater.
Yes. Right. Yep.
Which makes sense. So then you get now you introduce the Fantastic Four and Otto Octavius. And Otto Octavius is here because he thinks he can do better than Fisk can.
He's got grander schemes in mind.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so, I don't even know where to go with.
I think you're hitting on something that I don't think they needed that whole Otto side plot. I guess it was going to be one of my comments. I mean, they had the Ottos come in, and I had no idea what the heck those were. I'm like, so you have a Wolverine Otto, and that's just where I haven't been keeping up. And you have a Hulk Otto. So that one, I think that's why you're getting a little tripped up, because I did too. I said, you didn't need all that, because the plots between Wilson Fisk and his son, Elektra and Daredevil, you have Tony Stark that just like exits stage left and you never see him again until the very end, which I thought was funny. You have Luke Cage wanting to run for mayor because that's their counterattack, is we're going to fight this through political means. We're going to actually prop up Luke Cage because he's probably our best chance. And I thought that was great. The original choice was by Tony Stark, was himself, of course.
Right.
Like, Tony, you're not a good choice.
Yeah.
It's like, dang it, I know.
Well, and maybe that's like the good way to tackle it, is just heroes versus villains. It's like starts with Daredevil and Elektra, and then it expands when Fisk, you know, outlaws this. You do bring in the Spider-Mans, you bring in the champions then, because Miles Morales is related to the champions. Yep. And it's kind of nice. Miles like is getting arrested after having saved a building full of burning people from a burning building. Yeah. And all the firefighters are like, thank God you were here. You saved all these people. And then the Thunderbolts show up to arrest him. Captain America is like, you may as well just arrest him for breaking and entering at this point. If you're going to arrest him for that.
You bring in all the other heroes. I mean, She-Hulk's in it for a bit.
They're all hiding out underground. Mm-hmm. She-Hulk's there. Tony Stark's there. And then Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Moon Knight, they get arrested right away. The Fantastic Four gets arrested. And then on the villain side, you've got Fisk, of course. Fisk's son has like an interesting, is that Fisk, now that Fisk is mayor, Fisk's son is the Kingpin.
Right.
He's operating in a very different way than what his father used to. And he's like best friends with Mike Murdock, who's pretending to be Matt Murdock. Like, they're best buddies.
Are they more than friends? They don't really talk about it. I don't know why they didn't just lean into that. They just left it oddly conspicuous.
It was unclear.
Which I don't care. I just was wondering, why didn't they just lean into it or not?
Yeah, it's just unclear whether it's a very friendly male bonding or whether there's something romantic between them.
Yes, yeah.
They just leave it very ambiguous.
Yeah.
Where you could interpret it either way, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. But then that's where Octavius starts to get introduced. First off, they arrest the Fantastic Four because, of course, Reed and Sue, even though they're working for the government, they got some crazy stuff going on in their lab. Right. And then Otto is there because what Fisk finds out eventually is that what has caused him to lose his memory is the Purple Man.
Yes. So Mr. Kilgrave, I presume.
Mr. Kilgrave. And so Fisk, using his influence, goes and gets Kilgrave out of his jail cell. And his plot is now to use, although he can't control everyone's minds, he's strong enough to influence the entire city to think that Fisk's ideas are good ideas. So he'll get the votes.
Right.
Very
one like, for the thumb. Right. Like, what does that got to do with it?
Thumb off.
Oh, and puts it in a gem.
Puts it in a gem that now allows Fisk to have the power of the Purple Man and command people.
A small version of it. Like you said, the influencing part. Yeah.
And Otto builds all of this for him. That's Otto's job. As the mad scientist, he builds it all so that they can keep Zebediah Kilgrave inside a giant gem-shaped prison that is then tied to the gem on Wilson's staff or his cane, which then allows him to wield the power because it's the thumb's inside.
Right. And it's really important that he doesn't wear any clothes. Like, why is that? Give him like a towel or a toga or something.
He's like the purple version of Dr. Manhattan.
Yes. I'm like, does he have to be naked? I don't understand that part.
It's all in shadows all the time.
I know it is, but I just think it's hilarious. It's like, it's more menacing, actually. It actually works.
I don't know what's going to pop out of the shadows.
That's right. I just thought that was pretty funny. Like, not at all. Like, he has to walk around until the very end, and then he's fully clothed. It's like, all right, okay.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe he's more powerful. But yeah, it's your classic escalation, right? It's Luke Cage enters because basically Kingpin's unopposed prior to that. He's like, I need a way to counter that. So that's the influencing that you talked about. So he's helping influence people work from, but he's also trying to influence some of the other superheroes, subtly trying to get them to kind of fracture internally. So that's kind of your Civil War choose sides thing. But I think they catch wind of that.
Yeah. Luke Cage starts running because he's a very inspirational figure. And to your point earlier, Iron Man's like, I'll run, obviously. And everybody's like, Tony, Luke's going to be the candidate. They, you know, you're this person. They're like, Luke's the only one of us who's never worn a mask. He's always been straight up. He's the man of the people. This is the man of the people against Wilson Fisk. This is the best idea. It becomes a political battle, which then gets escalated because Wilson Fisk now starts using the power of the Purple Man to influence people, which they figure out. Yep. Because all of a sudden She-Hulk's like, you know, is what he's doing really that wrong? I mean, isn't this a good idea? And Jessica Jones, of course, is like, I feel it. This is the Purple Man's influence. It's happened to me before. He's had me under his control. This is what it is. So now we got to go take out Fisk because he's violating people's minds. Then they show up. Otto Octavius is there because he's the one who's built the Purple Man stuff. And this is where you were confused by all the different versions of Otto. This is way back, like 15 years ago, maybe more. There was a series called The Superior Spider-Man.
Yes,
Otto Octavius took over the mind of Peter Parker and was Spider-Man for a period of time. Well, in this, what he's done is he's hopped across the multiverse using Reed Richards' technology and grabbed every other Otto Octavius who has also done a quote-unquote Superior Spider-Man thing, but with different heroes.
I didn't piece that together. I remember reading the Superior one. I really liked that series, by the way. But that's what he was doing. Okay.
So the series of other...
Why did the Hulk have six arms?
Because Otto Octavius, obviously. Otto Octavius took over the mind of Hulk and grew three more arms.
Okay.
There's a version where he's taken over the mind of Wolverine. And there's an Otto Octavius who's controlling Wolverine. And there's one Ghost Rider.
Yep.
So this is there is a spinoff, if you want to follow their adventures, called the Superior Four, where it's four of them of what they're doing, running around causing chaos. Got it. Devil's Reign, and that's a lot to take in. Maybe we should catch our breath.
That's good. I think it's a good time for a break. We're about halfway through at this point.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break at the halfway point, and then we'll come back and talk about the second half of Devil's Reign and how this whole madness gets resolved through both political means and fisticuffs.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to listen to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right. Well, after that break, we are back to finish up talking Devil's Reign. And where we left off was we finally got through the heroes and villains. We know who's on both sides. And now it is the main plot is who is going to be the next mayor of New York. Is it going to be Wilson Fisk and he's going to continue his vendetta against heroes, which is really his vendetta against Daredevil? Or is it going to be Luke Cage? Wilson Fisk is influencing the minds of people using the Purple Man's power. And Luke Cage is using the power of social media and the people. I really like that, where he showed up and there's kids like filming, oh, it's Tony Stark. And he's like, they can't know we're here. I'll give you $1,000 each. They're like, no way. And Luke Cage's like, dudes, come on, do me a solid. And they're like, all right, you're Luke Cage. You're a good guy.
I thought that was good. Yeah, that was well done.
And so it is a little bit of back and forth. Fisk winds up using the powers of the Purple Man, enhanced by the Purple Man's children.
So I think that's what he realizes is when the heroes realize that they need to discover that, he knows he needs to up his game. So it's just your escalation kind of thing.
Right.
So the heroes realize he's using the Purple Man just for influence. And then Fisk gets wind of his kids are alive, Purple Man's kids. And he asks Otto, can they amplify it to more legit mind control if I round them all up?
Yep.
And he says, indubitably, or undoubtedly, or something like that.
Indubitably.
And so that's his next mission that he has his killing crew, his Thunderbolts go do is round up a bunch of kids. That's when they start to fracture a bit.
I think that's actually a nice moment, which is like Rhino shows up And they're all right. there to fight Rhino. And he's like, dudes, I'm on your side. And at this point, Otto now has drones that are out there that are helping to apprehend any heroes. And they're all like
Kingpin, I think, doesn't it? Or is it Otto's drones, but they're Kingpin.
Right.
They're deployed, controlled by Kingpin. But yeah. Right.
And at this point, they're the Octobot drones. That's I love right. it.
Yes.
And so he's like, hey, and they're like trying to punch him, and he's trying to put Thunderbolt badges on him because the robots are trained not to attack anybody with a Thunderbolt badge.
Right.
And he's like, I don't know if it's Wi-Fi or RFID or what. I don't know how it works.
It's kind of like Wi-Fi or something. But, just but put he these badges him, on.
It was like a weirdly moving moment because it's like Rhino, who's just like some dude who's always trying to punch Spider-Man, but he's sitting there. He's like, look, I took this gig with the Thunderbolts because it's steady paycheck. I'm just trying right. to make a job. I'm just trying to make a living here. And then they told me I got to go arrest kids that have done nothing wrong. And that's not cool. And that's why I'm here to help you.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. So that's what happens. The escalation reaches a point where Fisk is willing to do anything. And this is kind of the subplot. Heroes don't cross lines. And it's kind of, you know, when you see it. And I think rounding up a bunch of kids is not right. And so that's why Rhino leaves and kind of tells them a little about the plan. And so then they're like, okay, now we got to really take him down. Like if he's crossing the line, we got to take him down. Right. That gets back to the Daredevil versus Fisk thing. Daredevil's like, no, I'm going to go kill him. Like, forget this whole taking right. him down. I'm going to destroy him. And then meanwhile, then you go back to Fisk.
Yeah.
You want to tell the kind of the big midway point when he figures this. So then he is with his wife. Who's it? Typhoid Mary.
Mary.
Right, Typhoid Mary. And he's just having a drink, and she's like, I don't remember, you know, what it was like. And he, in a weird way, realizes an interesting variant of the influence mind control power. He makes her remember something.
Yeah, just by accident. And it's like a touching accident. Moment because you realize they really do care for each other. It's yes. weird. They're like yeah. in love. And he's holding the cane, and she's like, I just can't remember. There's large chunks of our life together that I remember as being, I just can't remember. And he's like, oh, I want you to remember. And then all of a sudden it's like, she can, because
she cries. You're right. It was an interesting, there are some interesting good themes in here of he unintentionally uses the power to get her to remember. And then he realizes, wait a minute, I could probably use this on myself to remember what was taken from me. And that's kind of the big pivot point. Where he remembers that it's Matt Murdock, and right. so then he is consumed with evil even further once he realizes commands that.
Himself. He's like,
yes,
remember, and then he's like, Murdock,
Matt Murdock. And he it's just pumped throughout the next episode and a half of the series of right. Matt Murdock. That's all that's in his head. He doesn't care about anything else at this point.
That is when this comic series flips from being very political to being the Marvel event with a bunch of punching. Right. So right. Sue and Reed, and it's an amazing moment for Sue and Reed. They're sitting in the Myrmidon just with the power dampener no collars on.
Yeah.
No powers. And somebody like comes to try and shiv Reed, and Sue blasts him in the face with a you know, one of the trays from the like a food cafeteria. Tray, yeah. And then you're like, they're pretty badass even without their powers.
Right.
And then Sue manages, when her lawyer comes to visit, to get her hands on a paperclip.
The classic steal the paperclip
classic. Scene.
And let then the cops check for paperclips.
Undoes her inhibitor collar. And it's in the moment, you're kind of like, that's cheesy. Like, she just gets a paperclip and undoes this high-tech inhibitor collar. But then when she goes to free Reed, he's like, well, I'm the one who invented these inhibitor collars. Obviously, I would...
have a failsafe,
right?
I would know how to only I would know how to. I know.
I would know how to undo it if one got put on me.
Yeah. When she comes to save him, you're 2 hours and 17 minutes late.
Right.
I love Reed. He's such a smart nerd.
Well, and this is I like this version of Sue and Reed where they're not fighting like in the middle of a marital strife.
Right.
You know, it's fantastic for.
That's true. Exactly. There's always an event where she hates him for what he's done. This wasn't that. That's right.
No, in this series, they're getting along. You know, the Thunderbolts break in to arrest him, and they've got Plan X7A, which is they defend Johnny and Ben abscond with the couple kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're a family, like they should be. They're Marvel's first family.
I was going to say,
right?
Yes.
But then, not that it's bad. It just it flips the series from becoming this political movement to Fisk now consumed with revenge, and now the escalations become personal. Fisk mm-hmm. is like, Murdock took this from me. He goes and he kills who he thinks is Matt Murdock, and it's actually his twin brother, Mike Murdoch, who has the Norn stone. I don't know what the Norn stone is.
I, like, I know. He's like, does this have a manual or something? I don't know how to use it.
Right. He tells Kingpin's son, Butch, right? Fisk.
Butch,
he's like,
but,
yeah, he's like, we got this Norn stone. And Butch is like, you superheroes are always trying to fix your problems with superpowers and stuff like that. There's a different solution. When he goes to get this Norn stone, he's like, oh, Dr. Strange probably knows how to use this thing if I can find
there's
it.
There's a manual. Right.
Fisk beats him to death. Kristen, who I think is Daredevil's girlfriend at this point, sees that. She works in the legal office, and he's like, you got to get out of there. You got to go tell the people that Fisk is a murderer. And now that he's killed my brother, all bets are off. Now Fisk is like, I'm trying to kill Murdoch. I think I killed him. Then he sees Daredevil. He's like, oh, I thought I killed you. It's like, right. I'm here to kill you. Now I'm here to kill you. And if you weren't following along with what's happening with Daredevil with Elektra, he mentions it to her at one point. Fisk does. She shows up and she's like, you've been neutered. And her scythes don't have points on them anymore. They don't have tips. They're more like billy clubs. They look like scythes, but they're like Daredevil's billy clubs, because now that Matt has convinced her to take on the mantle of Daredevil with him, he doesn't allow her to kill anymore. That's where Fisk is like, you were an assassin and now you're, and I'm still virile and strong. And he's like really gross about it.
Right.
He's wearing clothes, fortunately, unlike Purple Man.
Right. Sorry about the dog barking there, Joe, if you can hear him.
Oh, that's all right. Dogs welcome on this podcast.
We have we're dog sitting for my son for the day. Apparently, he knows about, apparently she knows she's being neutered too.
I heard I was going in to get tutored. I wonder what I'm going to learn.
And the other thing, I really enjoy, well, I'll wait till the end till we wrap
that's
it up.
Good. So let's, I mean, let's keep going with this. It goes downhill quickly from that, which is then
downhill.
It accelerates dark. Quickly. It gets dark. They're fighting each other.
Yes.
Because
I was going to say that the killing his brother, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
For that. I mean, he punches his face through a wall.
I know.
But that whole series, that whole set of panels was really gory, but it was really well done how they did it when he beat him up and just ended up just smashing his face to death. So
yeah, it was dark. And then, but it's just like all out brawl in the street. This kind of superhero stuff you'd want to see. Spider-Man getting his revenge on Taskmaster for almost killing Ben Reilly. They're all duking it out in the streets. And now Fisk has control because he's got five of the Purple Man's six children under his
control.
He's drained their powers. Now he has it all. And he's controlling the whole population of New York to go attack and kill the superheroes. They do manage to fight him off. And then Purple Man has one son, Joseph, I think, they never managed to capture him and drain his power. And of course, at the end, the good guys win. They're able to break using Joseph. They're able to break the mind control of the people.
Your classic event, the Fantastic Four, they show up at the right moment to help with the crowd. Right. Cause when it just looks overwhelming, it's like the good guys band together. And
that's where there's the reveal too, because you mentioned earlier, you're like, Tony Stark just disappears. They actually show in that battle, Tony Stark gets kind of blown up by the Otto version of Ghost Rider.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, it wasn't Tony all along. It was the Chameleon. And Otto's plan was to insert the Chameleon to run against Fisk. And he's like, well, when you guys chose Luke Cage to run against him instead of my Tony, I had to change my plan. So that's why Tony vanished. It's because it was Chameleon.
Yes. Yes. You don't know that till later. But yes, that's right. I was like, what? And then at the end, he thought that they were going to pick Tony.
Because the real Tony's locked up in the Myrmidon, you find out.
Yes. Yep.
So. Yep. That was kind of cool.
It was cool at the end. I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. That was kind of nice. The Chameleon under the iron mask.
I kind of like, so to me, the series, it started interesting and it was interesting throughout. There were some things that were confusing if you weren't a fan. And I really kind of liked the way it ended, especially with these characters, because they are dark. I mean, it's called Devil's Reign. He's called Daredevil. It's very dark. It ends on both a dark note and a light note at the same time.
Right.
In that Fisk turns over control of everything to his son, who is they've been fighting with.
Right. He says at the end, when everything's lost and he comes back to the Kingpin, he's basically like, you need to tell everybody that you killed me. And me being Wilson Fisk and Butch Fisk takes over. And that's my last gift to you. And that was what I was going to say. The father-son relationship throughout this is really well done. I mean, about how he hates his dad, and he knows he'd never kill him because there's unconditional love there for his own son. And there's really good subtones that.
And it's dark at the end too, because Daredevil gets control of the Purple Man's powers for a moment. And he thinks he's going to punish Fisk. And he's like, I want you to remember all the bad things you've done. And he's like, okay, I remembered him. Big deal.
It's like one panel later, done.
Done.
And right? What's your point? And he's like, oh my God, he's true evil.
Right. He says something about it. He's like, you can't use the powers of the devil against me because I am evil.
Right.
That's right. What I am all the way through. But at the end, he does, quote, give up being Kingpin. He's actually offered the chance by these Stromwind people who are behind the scenes of stuff. They're like, oh, we'll reinstall you as mayor. And not only will we reinstall you as mayor, we're going to have you run for president and then you'll be president. And then he's like, shake on it. Even though I don't like to touch people, we'll shake on it. He just like breaks the dude's hand. And he tells his son, he's like, if you're under the thumb of one person, you're under the thumb of everybody.
Yeah.
The end. No one's ever going to control me anymore. Right. And now his son respects him because his son had said, oh, you're just Otto's, you know, plaything puppet here.
Yeah, right.
Right. And so he does all these really terrible things and he reveals that he's true evil completely through. And then he's like, I'm just going to sail away with my wife, who she and I love each other. And I am just going to give this up forever.
Right.
Or am I?
Or is he? It's a nice sailboat.
It is a nice sailboat. And then Daredevil's like, hey, maybe Elektra, maybe now you and me, we just go take out the hand. I don't know. Maybe that'd be cool.
Right.
Because everyone thinks Matt Murdock's dead.
Right. You could be a little disappointed that Daredevil didn't kill Kingpin for killing his brother.
That's still a little bit of a nice moment, which is Elektra's there and he's the one who's told Elektra you can't kill anymore. And she tells him, she's like, you go ahead. I would do it if I was you, but there's a lot of people watching you right now. And what do you want your legacy to be? And he chooses to not kill Kingpin.
Right. What do you want? What does Daredevil, like the symbol, stand for? And you're going to tarnish it forever if you do this. And that's why
he
reigns back.
He pulled in the reins.
He pulled in the reins on the devil. That's right. So at the end, when they literally sail off into the sunset, which again, I like that. It was this oddly touching moment with Fisk. You kind of feel for him because he almost has like a moment of clarity of the only thing that matters is the people I love. And it's his son and it's his wife. And that's kind of what they ended on. So I did like that. I'm with you. I like that story.
All right. Well, I know we're running short on time, so let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll talk real quick about some of the spinoff series, which ones you might be interested in reading, which ones you might not. And then also I'd love to chat about, we both are now members of Marvel's Unlimited. How are you liking the Marvel Unlimited subscription, especially for people who might be willing to dabble into that? So quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You know the rules. We're not done until one of us can't get up.
All right. We're back to chat through the wrap-up of Devil's Reign. So we finished the series. It was 6 issues, and there were several. I'm going to run through real quick what all the other series are that you can read that are related to it. You can tell me how interested you are. First is Daredevil Woman Without Fear, which is some of the Elektra side story. And you had mentioned this is one that you were kind of interested in.
It does seem I am. Do you want to spoil it for me?
I don't want to spoil it for you, but I will tell you, here's where I think it'll push you over the top to read it. Is do you remember in the panel where Fisk tells her when he's got the thumb or whatever, he's like, and he hands Elektra a file. He's like,
yes.
He's like, there's somebody and they said, you should meet them at wherever, whatever, first place. And she's like, I got to go because Matt finds out about this is going to destroy everything.
Yes.
And then you see a panel in there with Kraven the Hunter somewhere. This is Elektra going to confront Kraven the Hunter.
Ooh, okay. I'm in. And that was what I suspected, which is I was flipping through it when I was reading it and I had to go back. I'm like, wait a minute. They just showed one panel of Kraven and that was it. There's something going on there. So yes, that's why I want to read it.
It's somehow, and I don't know how Kraven's mind works all the time, but he knows that Elektra is the quote world's deadliest assassin. He's like, there's a challenge I need to take on.
I love it. Right? I love it. That would be Kraven. So yes, I do want to read that. Thank you for confirming my suspicions.
Okay. There's Devil's Reign Superior 4, which is Otto and all of his buddies. It seems like it might be like, I don't know. I kind of read the plot. I read the plot summary. And I'm like, what is, I actually might check it out because it looks so dumb. I read the summary and I'm like, what? He's like going across to find different versions of him, and they like Earth 5609 and Earth 2902. They're going all over, and they're like, there's different versions of Otto who died. One died of an accident that Norman Osborn covered up. One was beheaded by a laser from President MODOK. It's like Otto exploring the multiverse, trying to find various versions of him, apparently.
There that is wouldn't actually be that bad, actually.
I might check one out. If it's a comedy, yeah. It should be a straight comedy.
It should, but it's probably not going to be.
There's a Spider-Woman side series that looks like she's fighting the Thunderbolts. I'm not super.
No.
I like that character, but kind of pass. Villains for Hire, which is a parallel to Heroes for Hire. They do a Thunderbolts
and
Villains for Hire with Electro 2. Did you notice that there was a female version of Electro in
this? Yes, I did. I was odd.
There was only like her in a couple panels. I was like, this woman version of Electro is giving me strange feelings.
There's a spark.
She's wearing the classic costume.
Right.
The green with the yellow lightning bolts.
Yeah.
Devil's Reign X-Men, which is just what's happening with the X-Men during this time. And it's a cold case murder involving Emma Frost.
Oh, and they do mention her in the comic, so that might be kind of interesting to dive into.
Right. There's Devil's Reign Winter Soldier. I don't know. Winter Soldier's not a character that I'm super into. That's just mm-hmm. me.
I agree. Yeah.
One I did read is there's a Moon Knight one shot that I really, really like. Because you know how
much. Not surprised by you, Joe, but that's good. Is it good?
It's good. It's one issue. The art's not great, but the story is awesome because in this. You see Moon Knight gets arrested right away.
Yes.
Like he's the first person the Thunderbolts take down.
Yep.
And this is him in prison. And then and then the whole story is he meets 8-Ball, who is like a low-level villain who's always like, whatever. He winds up being Moon Knight's cellmate. And Moon Knight like makes that weird crazy mask you see out of the bed sheet for himself. And he's crazy. And what you find out is there's an underground fight club in the prison.
Oh, nice.
And Moon Knight, being the protector of the Travelers by Night, has had some woman come to him and say, my husband is this power dude. He's a villain. He's got powers. He's locked up in the Myrmidon. And Moon Knight allows himself to be captured because he's going to go beat the hell out of that guy.
So that's why he gets arrested so easily and so early at the beginning.
He enters the underground fight club and he gets his butt. Like, he's fighting all the time. And then he gets to this guy and he's fighting him. And he's like, I was sent here by your ex-wife. And if you ever come near her again, you will die.
Okay, that and the electric storyline I'm gonna have to read.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, okay, I get it. He's like, that's why I'm here.
That's it. That's the show.
And then there's Devil's Reign Spider-Man, which follows what happens to Ben Reilly after he gets sprung by Human Torch and the Thing, where like what's happening with him.
Yeah.
So those are the spinoffs. I think there's also an issue called Devil's Reign Omega, which talks a little bit about where people wind up. So Kingpin and Typhoid Mary, they sail away on their boat. They actually wind up, they're headed to Latveria.
Yes.
Reasons unknown.
I wonder who they're going to meet.
Right. And Luke Cage does become mayor. And then you have Matt Murdock's funeral. Matt Murdock is his brother Mike. And they bury him with the Nornstone. So they're like, we found this rock with him when he was dead. Let's put it in his coffin.
Because that's not going to be exhumed later.
No. So overall, in terms of Marvel events, how do you like Devil's Reign? It's hard to rank against other types of events, but
it is. I mean, it's definitely not as cosmic and altering as the other ones, but I put it up there just because of the, like you said earlier, the street level, the subplots. It's really enjoyable. On a lot of fronts with that. So I would put it up there. I think they did a really nice job. I mean, it's not as up there as, you know, for me, the pinnacle is the original Secret Wars, but it's definitely up there with a lot of the other events that they have done in the past, just for different reasons. It's just different. It's not better or worse. It's just good. It's really good. It's just good for a lot of different reasons.
Good. And how did you like, so this is the first event where we both are subscribers to Marvel Unlimited. And we're like, well, now that we have with our subscription, unlimited access to some of these series, which this was only 2021. So it's not like you have to wait years and years. What did you think of that?
I really liked that because I kept looking when you sent it to me of, oh, this just happened last year and I have access to it digitally. And I don't know, I haven't really tinkered with the different ways to read it, but the way I read it is it goes the full screen of my iPad as panel by panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that from an artistic perspective.
Okay.
So that's how I like reading it, is every time you swipe, it goes to a different panel. And sometimes it doesn't go to a different panel. It zooms in on a certain section of a panel to highlight a point. And so artistically speaking, I do like it a lot, Joe.
That's interesting, because I like reading it the other way. I like reading it full page at a time. And then when I get to a double page spread, because that gets hard to read, is then when I double click and I zoom in, because then you're right, it's a guided view of the double page spread. And then
it
pulls out and shows you the whole spread.
Yeah.
I really like that view and way to read comics online. I never thought, hey, I'm going to be a big fan of reading comics on my iPad. And I still actually do prefer to read comics, physical copies.
Yep.
But the sheer fact that, like, okay, Devil's Reign is not a, if I wanted to read the whole, which I did, I read the whole series in book form. Like, mm-hmm. I had to buy all 6 books, $5 each. That was 30 right there. Then if I wanted to read the 25 different spinoffs, right here, I actually have the chance to be like, I don't got to go throw money at the book and read it. Or I even have the chance to be like, I read the book, the first in the series, and I liked it enough that I'm going to buy the physical copies. I like the ability to sample the things. And also, like I said, like, I probably would not go buy the copies of Superior 4. Spinoff,
but can
I'll read one or two online digitally
to see if it's comedic in value, and if it's not, then you don't. Then you stop watching it. I'm reading it. Yes, I agree with all those points. I think the fact that historical versions of this didn't do anything with, like, within the last 2 or 3 years,
right?
And that they just needed to solve that, and they have mostly solved it, so that now I can keep up with kind of essentially current stuff. And they're going to just keep merging it, which they should. Is having it so current, as current as the physical, and they just need to get to that. But the layout is much improved. And I do like the panel to by panel focus areas.
Awesome. Well, coming up on future podcasts, I'd love to read another event with you. One also that just came out from last year was The Death of Doctor Strange, which I think would be fun. I read the whole thing, and now that it's on Marvel Unlimited, maybe we catch up on that. And
is
then
it the real Doctor Strange, or is it the variant P.T. Barnum version of Doctor Strange?
Donny Blaze.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that. And then I am going to try and get a hold of Michael, our other now long missing podcast host, and do Secret Invasion also, because Secret Invasion's coming soon.
Yes.
So I really appreciate you reading the book with me, Mark. It was fun to catch up on this.
Same, Joe. Likewise.
Looking forward to the next one. So cheers.
OH.
IO.
Cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog, casualcomicsguide.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.